Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
We have a guest in studio today who's come in, Jeff Attinella. Attinella. Did I get that right, Jeff?
Nailed it.
Did I really?
Yeah, I'm one of the only ones.
Thank you. He is an author. Also, he is a Portland Timbers goalkeeper and a guy who's recovering from a torn labrum. Timbers fans, you may know him. I wanted to drag him on. You were just here today kind of unofficially, right?
I'm here to learn. I want to see what it's like behind the desk, and so far it's been a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, he started off, he shadowed in with Peter, and he's kind of learning the broadcast business, but I think it's good to learn all things. It's like at Starbucks, before you can be manager, they make you be the barista, they make you do all the jobs, you know?
You gotta learn how to brew the beans before you can be the boss.
That's right. How'd he do in there, Peter?
He did a great job. At one point he was like, man, do you mind if I slide onto your side? Most people don't want to do that. He was into it.
Yeah, I have no interest in any of that over there to see what he's doing. Adriana, how did he do down there? How did Jeff do down there?
He did great. He was asking a lot of really good questions.
It's good. All right. It's good. You can stick around. Jeff Attinella, he's a goalkeeper with the Portland Timbers. How's the rehab going?
It's been going well. Yeah, progressing every day. You know, I know the shoulder injury. Shoulders are a little bit tough. There's a lot of things going on in there, but... You know, so far it's been good. It's painful, but so far it's been good.
Yeah. You did it. You landed on the ball.
Yeah. So this time last year on my 30th birthday, I got a rude awakening to what it's like to be 30. Landed on the ball, dislocated my shoulder. And
just
then,
wait, dude.
Yeah.
30? Nothing.
Well, I got big hopes for 31. 30 didn't start. 30 didn't start off too great with that game, but I got big hopes for 31. So we'll see how that one goes.
What'd you think of the Mike Leach interview? You were down there in the production booth when that was going
on. He's an interesting cat, man. He's it's funny. I was asking him how long will Mike Leach be on, and it's cool. I think it's cool that he's a big time college coach that'll hop on a radio airwaves in Oregon and talk for 30 minutes and just kind of shoot it. I thought that was pretty sweet.
Jeff, you've also written some books. The Curse Ends, the story of the 2016 Chicago Cubs. Give us the backstory on this. How do you end up as an author of a book that, by the way, you can buy on Amazon?
Yeah, so it's funny, you know, when my daughter was born, it was about 2 weeks before the World Series, before that 2016 World Series with the Cubs. And as I'm sitting there, a new dad and delusional, you know how we all are that first couple of months. It dawns on me that my daughter's never going to know, that generation's never going to know that the Cubs weren't ever supposed to win.
Yeah,
that,
right.
You know, there's 100 years of Cubs fans that are used to losing. You know, the lovable losers, everyone loves to cheer for them, but they always lose. So then it kind of just hit me that, you know, that story could get lost in the generation. So we wrote a series of books from It Had to Be Told Publishing is a publishing company, and pretty much it's just sports stories that we felt like there was an ending to them, like the Cleveland Cavaliers winning a championship in Cleveland, but... just stories that we felt like should be passed down from generations of sports fans because, you know, for me, sports is everything for me growing up. So I think those are just stories that need to be remembered.
Well, I think it's really interesting. I mean, and your guy, you came into MLS in Real Salt Lake and now in Portland, MLS Cup. What was it like? 76,000 people. I was in the building. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was an experience, man. It was cool. You get goosebumps just kind of thinking about it, but... just to be a part of something where you see how big soccer's gotten in the country and to be, you know, especially out here in Portland, to be able to represent the Timbers in that big of an arena was pretty sweet.
I think it's an interesting time in MLS. We'll get back to the books in a second, but I just want to hit on this because I was there and look, I'm a columnist, so I just pop in. It's the big game. You know, I'm not with you for the whole season. You've got Jamie Goldberg covering the team on a daily basis. But... I looked around that stadium and I thought, these are not NFL fans. Like, this is a whole different segment of the Atlanta population that is here supporting this team. And then I wondered, what's the future of MLS? Are super teams like this that can draw 70,000, are they going to be able to spend that much more than everybody else?
I mean, you kind of hope that the league kind of pushes it that way, because I think when you have a team like Atlanta that's drawing, you know, a unique group of people and drawing that many people to every game, because it's not just the finals, man. They sell out all the time. So if you have a team like Atlanta that's really pushing it, and then, you know, teams like Portland, teams like the other big MLS franchises around the area they see where the bar is set. Hopefully the goal is that every team starts pushing it, and there's so many new teams coming in that you kind of hope that they follow that Atlanta mold where, you know, they're getting that crowd, they're getting really good players and setting the bar pretty high.
When I was like six, they would take the kid who wasn't very good and put him in goal. But now the guy in goal is like a small forward on an NBA basketball team. He's got length. He can move. You've got to be a defensive coordinator out there. What was that first experience in goal for you?
Well, it's funny, you know, I appreciate where that story went.
You know what I mean?
I thought it was going to go the other way.
You know what I mean, though?
Yeah, absolutely. So
you probably started as a forward.
Yes. So I started as a catcher in baseball.
Okay.
So my whole thing was, the coach asked, you know, who thinks they could play goalie? I raised my hand. I said, well, I play baseball, so I think I could play this pretty well.
Pretty easy.
So for me, it was a pretty easy transition because I was the football, baseball, basketball player, and then started playing soccer. They asked who thinks they could play goalie, and I was like,
How old were you?
I used my hands.
How old were you at that point?
10.
Wow.
Yeah, so I raised my hand early. My mom didn't want me to play goalie. My parents say it was a terrible decision.
They wanted to score goals.
Exactly. It's like, you're playing soccer because you want to go score goals and run around, and you pick the position where you're just standing there and getting balls kicked at your face. But, you know, it worked out all right.
You know what? My nephew plays on one of those elite club teams in California. He's a good player. And they had a big problem because their goalkeeper, and I think he plays like 13U or whatever, their goalkeeper was playing up an age division because he's really good. Well, they went to play a tournament. They didn't have a goalkeeper. And I said, how hard could it be? You just get somebody. And they're like, no, you need somebody who's got specialized training, even at that level. I think most people probably look down at you and have no idea of how difficult that is. But I got to tell you, I watched that MLS Cup game. When you are playing against competition that is that good, that is to be one of the most difficult things in sports.
I mean, that's what I like to tell people too. You know,
I'm serious.
It's a very unique position. You know, you're playing a completely different sport than everybody else, and you're around a lot of people that don't really understand what it takes to be a goalie and, you know, the ins and outs of the position. So it is. That's why we say the goalkeeper union is really strong, because there's only a certain amount of people that understand really what you're going through on the daily.
What do you? When are you comfortable as a goalkeeper? Like. Because I know sometimes it probably feels like there's a lot of space out there, and other times maybe it doesn't. It feels like you're in control of it.
I think, you know, I always learned growing up that the most comfortable time is when the ball's in your hand, because that's when you have control.
Yeah.
You know, when you're holding the ball, then you're in total control. But, you know, when the ball's not around you, then you got to kind of guess where the ball's going to end up, or you got to try to read and dictate the game. So it's a very unique position.
What makes Diego Valeri so good?
Man, he's just so good on the ball. And he's so creative that it's almost like he sees the game slower than the people around him. You know, when he gets the ball, he's seeing things before they happen, and he's just able to dictate the game at a way that, he's just a next level player around people that you could tell that he sees the game differently, and the game just slows down. Like all the great ones do in every sport, they say that the game's slow to them, and that's kind of what it seems like when Diego's around the ball.
That's interesting, because I wrestle with, a lot of guys in the league have skill. I mean, there's tremendous skill, but then you see certain players that just tend to make everybody around them better.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Diego is. I think that, to be honest, you know, I think he's very underappreciated for what he's been able to do in this league. And even when I was on Salt Lake, you know, it was always, well, if Diego Valeri has the ball, like, you got to be ready, because it could do anything, and he can create from anywhere. So to just even be on his team and kind of get to see it every day in and out, it's been one of the highlights of my career, truthfully.
Our guest is Jeff Attinella, who came in here on a job shadow and has been dragged on air. Timbers goalkeeper. He's out this season on the season-ending injury list. When will you be back?
Next year.
Okay,
yeah,
so you're
next year. Yep.
Chomping at it.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. I'm rehabbing, man. I'm rehabbing. I'm watching a lot of football. Following some baseball pretty closely.
Where'd you grow up? Where's home?
Tampa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yep. Tampa.
Yep. I was going to wear my Lightning jersey in here today.
The poor Lightning fans. What happened? Best record ever, NHL. They're going all the way. Oh, no, they're not. They're out in the first round. What happened?
Swept in the first round.
Yeah.
Not just out.
Embarrassing.
Embarrassing? That's tough.
I think
when you're playing at such a high level and you clinch things so early, you're not playing with any pressure. So when, you probably don't remember the first game as well as I do, I have nightmares of it, but they were up by 3 or 4 goals, and then Columbus came back on them, and it was kind of like, oh, they got hit in the mouth, and they weren't able to kind of punch back, because I think they were out of that playoff mode so long, but...
That's interesting.
Know, there's always next year.
You know, it's funny, because I kind of found that, as you watch MLS, a few years ago when Caleb Porter and the Timbers, they had a team that had to scrap their way in and scrap their way through each round of the playoffs. And I think there's something to that in baseball, too, with the wild cards. The wild card teams are dangerous because they're fighting for a playoff spot and it never stops.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you look at even last year, you know, we were fighting for a playoff spot and we had so much momentum going into the playoffs that once we won that knockout game, we couldn't be stopped.
Yeah.
Because we had all that momentum. We had that good feeling in the locker room. And I mean, you see that in sports all the time. Whoever the hottest team is going into the playoffs is usually going to be the one that has that run where it comes out of nowhere. But if you've been watching them for the last month, you know, you talk about baseball, teams that are fighting to get into the playoffs, they've been playing playoff style for the last month. And then they have that momentum going into it, and you get that team that's clinched 2 months out in advance and they haven't had to play meaningful ball in a long time. It's a different, you know, it's just a different animal when you're dealing with a team that's been playing for their lives for that long.
We're talking to Jeff Antonella, who is a goalkeeper with the Timbers. He's written a book. He's written a bunch of books, but one of them is called The Curse Ends, the story of the 2016 Chicago Cubs. This is a book. What age are we gearing this book towards?
So I originally geared it towards dads because I thought to myself, you know, if I'm reading to my daughter, what do I want to read?
Right.
I want to try to inject
good
some
Lord,
sports.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
exactly.
You.
I originally wrote it for dads, so you're welcome on that one. But no, I mean, we're talking about age 10 and up. You know, I really think that it's, we've even discussed it as it could be a cool coffee table book just because it is a cool story and it's as cool little nursery rhymes about just cool moments in sports. You know, the one about LeBron, it just talks about the entire saga, the decision, and things like that as well. So, you know, I think it's good for all ages, but usually starting around 10 is when I still try to read it to my daughter, but she's more interested in the picture of the Cub than she is any of the content.
That's Remy? Is that your
Remy,
daughter?
Remy, yeah.
One of the best compliments on the Amazon reviews is, I just bought the book because he's the Timbers goalkeeper, but then I realized this is a great book. Like, isn't that a nice compliment?
That is a good compliment.
You know, because it's like, you know, for people who are coming to this, and I have one kid who's a kindergartner, and I have another who is a preschooler. And I have a half an hour between when kindergarten starts and when preschool starts. And we sit in the library, and I read her like 11 books. And you're absolutely right. We read the same damn 11 books every day. I wish I was reading this book.
Well, butterflies and unicorns, that's how our first promotion went. It was we did a little commercial. It was like, are you tired of reading about butterflies and unicorns? Like, read about sports. So. Yeah. So,
when
yeah,
Daddy
a nice
Became a
twist.
Dinosaur is the one she makes me read over and over. I don't know why she does that. Hey, thanks for coming by here. I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate
you
guys
having me. What
are
you hoping to get out of this? You want to just get some broadcast background, or what's the move for Jeff?
I want to learn. You know, I got my degree in communications. You know, I've been playing, so it's always you're always busy playing. But you know, I love what you do. I think it's really fun to talk about sports. You know, if anybody even follows me on Twitter, Tampa sports is like my life. So if one day I could be talking about that for a living, that'd be pretty sweet. But
did you have a creamsicle Buccaneers jersey, or you were the cool Buccaneers?
Did I have a creamsicle? I got a couple of them in the closet.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
But remember when they got good? I mean, you know.
Do I remember? Of course I remember. I still cling to those. I cling to those glory days.
Yeah.
They're back this year, though, I'm telling you.
Winston?
The divisions. I know.
I don't think so.
I know you're not a Winston guy.
I'm not
guy.
A Winston fan.
I know. Well, out here in Oregon, it's tough to find Winston people, but... You know, I got my own argument for that, but no, I think that division is pretty open this year with Cam getting hurt and Drew Brees is now hurt, and you know, Atlanta, they kind of choke a little bit. We'll see. It's open.
You are a diehard Buccaneers fan.
Yeah, I mean, I could convince myself they're going to win a division every year.
Jeff Antonella, check him out. He'll root for him as he rehabs his injury. And I'm going to buy this book right now. The Curse Ends, the story of the 2016 Chicago Cubs. Appreciate you, man.
Oh, I appreciate you.
You can stick around. All right, we got Jonathan Smith coming up, Oregon State football coach. Leave it here. Jonathan Smith will be coming up at 2:30. Peter, man, you're the air traffic controller on this show. You got to keep this thing on time. Come on now.
Hey, I'll do the best I can.
It's my fault. My job is to derail the show. Your job is to keep it on, you know. You're like the umpire.
All right.
And I'm the pitcher.
All right. Well, I'll be honest.
I'm walking around the mound. You tell me to get up on the mound and pitch.
Yeah, well, it's 3-0 right now, so come on, son.
Throw a pitch. I was talking to Jeff Antonella, the Timbers goalkeeper, during the break about something really interesting, and I know I've changed as a sports fan, and I know we've had kind of fragments of this discussion over time about how you've changed as a sports fan. But I would like to get some caller input. If you're out in traffic, you're sitting on I-5, you're at your desk, you're working today, I would love for you to tell me, like, if you can honestly and objectively look at how you're consuming this college football season, this NFL season, this MLS season, this Major League Baseball season, I would be really interested to know if you are making some of the same observations I'm making about how I'm watching games. I have found that it used to bother me that I wasn't watching full games anymore. But now I find myself more impatient as a sports fan. I tune in. I expect to see something happening. If the broadcasters aren't doing a good job holding my attention, I'm frustrated with it. I'm kind of waiting for the Major League Baseball playoff races to kind of narrow down a little more before I really emotionally invest in them. I'm paying attention to the early part of the NFL season, but I haven't yet gone full throttle into it. I'm more focused on college football right now, probably, than anything else. I would like for you to call in and tell me kind of what has your attention right now. How are you watching games? Are you sitting down and watching a full game? Like, do you watch the whole Oregon game or Oregon State game? Or are you kind of dabbling, following on social media? You tell me. 503-417-7575 is the phone number. I also have a pair of tickets to tonight's Timbers game against the New York Red Bulls. Brought to you by your local Toyota dealers. Timbers tickets right here, 100 level, right close to the action. Pair of tickets. I'll tell you how to get those before the end of the segment in the next couple minutes. So if you want to go to a game tonight, you can see the Timbers and the Red Bulls play at Providence Park. But I'd like to get your input on sort of how you're watching, how you're consuming games. How different is it than what you used to watch? And my experience on Monday Night Football was really frustrating. I was flipping around. I found Monday Night Football. I decided I'm going to watch Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. for a minute just to see. And I stayed on it. I saw the touchdown pass. Big play from Mayfield to Odell Beckham Jr. And I thought, okay, Cleveland looks like they're dangerous. But again, it's the Jets. And then I got immersed in the broadcast, which really frustrated me to the point where I probably only watched about another 5 minutes of that game. And I said, I can't do it anymore. It's a stinker of a game. The broadcast team's not holding my attention. What happened to Monday Night Football? Where did Howard Cosell and Dandy Don and Frank Gifford and Al Michaels go? And I turned my attention to some Netflix show, Ozarks, or something like that. So that's what I did. That's what I did during Monday Night Football. Now, people who are defending Monday Night Football are telling me, hey, man, you're getting the fourth best game of the week now. You're not getting the game of the week like it was your childhood. And the broadcast crews are really geared towards making the Sunday night game the appointment viewing game of the week. And Tony Romo has ruined it for everyone because he's yelling out plays before anybody else can know what's going on. But I think I'm kind of still looking at Monday Night Football. And are you telling me you can't find two broadcasters that can do a better job than the guys did on Monday night? Because I think that was the kind of performance on Monday night where I was like, there were three teams playing on Monday night, and the Jets were the second worst team. That broadcast team had a worse game. 503-417-7575 is the number. Peter, how do you consume games now, and how different is it from maybe your childhood?
Oh, it's completely different now. I'm bouncing around. I'm doing bits and pieces. I'm a cord cutter, so I have, you know, the ACC network, the SEC, well, everything but the Pac-12 network, basically.
Are you using Hulu now? Because I'm using Hulu.
Hey, Hulu has live sports, yeah. Baby. Yeah, it's great, except for the Pac-12 thing. So if I can, I'll watch the local teams, but otherwise, I'm just getting those little bits and pieces. I hate to admit it, I'm a red zone guy. I just want to see the action.
I wonder if fantasy football, like, because I think a few things going on. One, I think fantasy football has ruined kind of the enjoyment of the long form viewing experience that people used to have. Two, I think we're so much more busy and there's so much more technology, so much more access. Remember, it used to be the whole reason you guys are Seahawks fans is that you only had one game that you could watch every week, and it was the Seahawks game. So you sat down and you watched the damn Seahawks game, and maybe you followed the scroll in the bottom of the screen to know what was going on in the rest of the NFL. But the bottom line is, I think you've changed, and I think I've changed, and part of that is, you know, there's a frustration factor that plays in that.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but If you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.